I know we just prayed, but before I say anything else, I want to pray again, okay? Glory to you, God. Heavenly Father, you are the one true God. I depend on you. I ask you to carry me through this message. Take away my fears and anxiety. Please be with us as we receive your message. And don't let me get in the way of your message and your truth. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So just like Ken said, today's verses are going to be Galatians 6, verses 6 through 10. This is a continuation of the first five verses that we went over last week. If you're new to Crestview this week, we go through the books of the Bible, verse by verse, each week. We are nearing the end of the book of Galatians, and it's about bearing one another's burdens and living a spirit-driven life. Just to go for a quick review from last week, Pastor Scott made some points here. The Christian life corrects for the purpose of restoration. The Christian is intentional about helping one another tangibly and practically, is motivated by humility, all while each is seeking personal faithfulness. As we look at verses 6 through 10, I'm going to read it one more time, and we're just going to start in verse 6 then, okay? So please go with me to Galatians 6, verse 6. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So the very first verse, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches, is about valuing each other and appreciating each other in fellowship. When we're talking about the people that Paul meant, we are all being taught and we are all hearers of the word. But as far as the teacher goes, the teacher is the one who devotes his life and draws his livelihood from the gospel, the one who commits his life to God and God's people and is uniquely dependent upon them for material support. So who would the teacher be in today for practical application in our modern world? Well, it'd be our pastor. And what burdens, as we're talking about bearing one another's burdens, we know that the one that sows the spiritual seed among us also bears all of our burdens, doesn't he? He's committed to us. And if we turn to James chapter 3, verse 1, we can look at one of the loads that the teachers carry. And it's not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. This is a verse that I think of every time I come up here. And that's the reason I pray before I say anything, because I know that I will be judged with greater strictness. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of personal testimony when it comes to our pastor as far as being committed to us. Just in my life, he's been there every time that my wife has had surgery, in the waiting room with me, praying with me. And I bet if I go around this room today, there are a lot of similar experiences and similar times that he has been there for us, right? And it's because of this sacrifice, because of this commitment and devotion to God's people, that we as the church are to support him as well with just the tangible things as far as the material things. We are to share all good things as we also share all bad things, don't we? And 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11 says, if we have sown spiritual things among you, Is it too much if we reap material things from you? And so our fellowship is about loving each other as we love ourselves and not taking each other for granted. We all hold equal value here in Christ. Jesus is the great equalizer and the great unifier. There's no man or woman here that holds any authority over you other than the authority in the Bible. So let's move on to the next verse. We're going to look at just the first part of this verse. Let me get back to Galatians. Here we go. The first part of this verse says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked." Now, the root meaning of these words here, "do not be deceived," is "do not be led astray," and "God is not mocked" is "do not turn your nose up to God." Do you ever turn your nose up to God? We'd like to think that we don't, but every time that we know what the right thing is to do and we don't do the right thing, we are turning our nose up to God. When I read this first part, I thought about the definition of integrity. I don't know if you remember the definition of integrity, but it's doing the right thing when no one is watching. But it's really doing the right thing when only God is watching, right? And this goes to James 1:22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." God knows our hearts and our minds, and He knows our thoughts, and He sees our actions. And it's important that we are transparent and genuine with God, because God knows what's really going on. We might be able to deceive each other, but we might be able to deceive ourselves, but we are not able to deceive God. "And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 20. Ephesians 4, verse 20. "But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds." Bless you. "And to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." The fact of the matter is that in our life, if we are hearers of the word, but nothing changes, or nothing has changed, then nothing has changed, right? We are to be doers of the word. We're only deceiving ourselves if we're coming here and listening to the word and then not applying it in our life between Sundays. When we walk out of this door, we are easily caught back up into the world, but we need to stay true to the Lord and stay true to Christ. And we draw our power from Jesus, and so these things are possible. One moment, please. All right, let's look at the second part of that verse for Galatians. And we're going to go through this 7 and 8 now. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." God has used the concept of sowing and reaping from the beginning. In Job chapter 4, verse 8, Job says, "I have seen those who plow iniquity and sow trouble, reap the same. So what is our purpose in life? If we look at Ephesians 2:10, our purpose in life is for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So that is our purpose. God has created us for good works, and we are, so to say, farmers of the gospel, sowing and reaping. Sowing is the act of planting the seed, and reaping is harvesting the rewards. I think it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you have apple seed and you go out to the field and you sow apple seed, you can expect to grow apple trees, right? If we sow sparingly and only sow a couple of those seeds, then we can expect to only receive a couple of trees, maybe. Everyone will harvest based on the seed that they plant. So when we're looking at this, first we have to ask ourselves, what are the seeds? What are the seeds that we're planting in these fields? The seeds that Paul is talking about here in this context are our thoughts and our behaviors or actions, okay? Thoughts or behaviors. There are two categories that are the types of seeds that we can sow. And those types of seed are the seed of flesh, corruption, or the seed of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and life. We know those subtypes from Galatians. Let's look at flesh, which is going to be Galatians 5, 19, 21, just a couple verses back. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Those are the seeds of the flesh. The seeds of the Spirit are the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. In our life, we have different parts of our life, different fields in our life. We have our family life. Are we sowing good seed or corrupted seed in our family life? When we're going to work, are we sowing good seed with our fellow workers, or are we sowing corrupted seed? Are we that light? Are we the salt and the light when we're going out there and we are plowing in the different fields of our life? Let's go to verses 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Is there a field in your life that causes you to grow weary? Is there a field in your life where you are becoming weary of doing good works? Maybe it's dealing with long-time illness. Maybe that is causing the weariness. Maybe it's some type of difficult situation at work. While I was preparing this sermon, I, of course, you know, when you prepare the sermon, you have to work through the verses yourself. So you're often wrestling with a lot of this stuff. And so personally, I had to do some real reflection and think about where in my life do I grow weary. Just recently, I come from a family of unbelievers. and I love my family, but I sometimes grow weary sharing the gospel with them, you know, with the people that I love the most, because every time we come together and I try to describe the hope that I have in Jesus, the truth of the Bible, they look at me like I'm from another planet, you know, like I don't know what you're talking about and what happened to the old you. And sometimes in that, I grow weary. And so we have to reflect on what fields in our life are we growing weary, and why do we grow weary? We grow weary because we don't see the immediate results, right? Whenever we see the harvest, when we see the harvest of the work that we've put into the field, it's encouraging. But when we don't see that harvest, that's when things can really slow down in your life. But we have hope in Jesus Christ. And if we look at, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. That's just it, isn't it? If we're not seeing the harvest in the field, but we are continuing to do good, that's not on us, right? Because we can plant the seed, we can cultivate the soil, cultivate those relationships that we're trying to share the gospel in. We can water it, and we can make sure that it gets enough sunlight, but we cannot make it grow. Only God can make it grow. Amen. Amen. And so what Jesus does for us is Jesus Christ frees us from the burden of results. Results are a burden. We just naturally, as a people, we are all about what I get for what I give. You know, always looking for the best deal, and that really, it applies to everything in our life. You know, that's part of the reason that I enjoy mowing the grass. You know, because I can sit out there and the grass is long, and then I can mow over it, and then the grass is short, and I can see exactly what I just did. And, you know, I can see the reward immediately. Of course, that's oversimplifying what we're talking about here. But another helpful verse for, I don't know if some of you share with me in having loved ones that are unbelievers, and all you want is for them to know Jesus. Because sometimes my family will deal with me harshly, you know, when I share the gospel with them. It's funny how the world works, because it'll be a world of tolerance. Everybody is tolerant of everything until you talk about Jesus, and then they're intolerant of Jesus, right? Everything's okay, you know, and I'm going to accept everything, but the moment you start telling me about Jesus, that's when a lot of people become intolerant. That's how it is, at least on my side of the family. And sometimes it does get a little bit... It gets hard sometimes. But in Titus chapter 2, if we go to Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, Titus 2, verses 7 and 8, show yourselves in all respect to be a model of good works, and in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. So when I go and I engage with my family, like my mom or my aunt or something like that, then I do my best to treat them with love, so that the only difference, the only thing that they can get mad at me about is Jesus. That's the only difference. That's the only thing that keeps us apart, right? That's the only divider. It's not going to be based on how I spoke to you or how I lost my cool or anything like that. It's only going to be based on Jesus. That will be the only thing that keeps us apart until hopefully he softens their hearts and they receive his word as well. At the heart of these 10 verses, because these first five verses, the first five verses tied together with these second four, is really understanding grace and applying it and understanding it in your life, understanding the saving grace that Jesus has provided for us. If we look, if you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians, if you're following along, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. I just skipped it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. This really, when we take this in and we realize what Jesus has done for us, it will show itself in a gracious heart. A gracious heart. And what a gracious heart does is, and we talked a little bit about this last week when Scott was talking about corrects for the purpose of restoration. But a gracious heart looks inward the hardest for sin, looks inward the hardest for sin, and looks outward the hardest to love. Okay? So when we are looking for correction in the Spirit, we look inward the hardest first. Okay? We're not looking at to correct everybody else. But we look outward the hardest to love. And we draw our strength from Jesus. I have a closing few verses here that I wanted to close this sermon with. And that will be James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. And then we'll pray. James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. There we go. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every breath that you give us. I thank you for your special revelation in your word. And I ask that you help us understand the grace that we live in. Help us to apply the Spirit in our life, in our actions, Help us to do the words that we hear. Help me in this battlefield that is outside of this church. Help me to walk out through these doors and go and engage this world in love. Help me to share the gospel, share the same hope that I have, and then also help me to be a better brother to my brothers and sisters that I already have in Christ. Let them know that we are all equal in Christ. We may have many differences and different opinions about things, but the one commonality that we have, the one thing that we have in common is Jesus Christ, and that is enough. That is enough, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
May we invite you, if you'd like to stay.